what God has provided and equipped for us as we look at this today. And I just want to have you picture in your mind the Christian soldier getting ready to go to battle. As he readies himself, he adjusts his war belt. His heart pounds under his breastplate so that it almost rings. He scuffs at the earth like a football player with his nail-studded boots, testing his traction. He repeatedly draws his great shield across his body in anticipation of the fiery barrages to come. Reflexively, he reaches up and repositions his helmet. He gingerly tests the edge of his blade. The enemy approaches, 1,000 swords from the scabbards in dreadful symphony. The warriors stand motionless, breathing heavily. And then the Christian soldier does something, the most amazing thing. He falls to his knees in deep and profound prayer. He goes to action, but it's on his knees. And I want to ask a question today. How about you today? What do you do when the battle comes? Do you hide? Do you run? Do you just charge into battle? The answer is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. And I want to read this. And it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, this is your word, and I pray that you would move me aside, Lord, in my words and my thoughts, that you'd remove the thoughts of the listener so that we can only hear what you have to say today. Lord, we surrender to you and your word. God, it is a sacred and an honor, Lord, to be able to even read your word and speak about it and teach about it. But Lord, I am a sinner, Lord. I am weak, and I pray in my weakness your strength would be made perfect, that only the power of your Spirit would come. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us, that you'd anoint us, Lord, that we would have understanding of what your word says today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. We invite you, God. We invite you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what do? You go straight to the throne room in prayer. Edward Payson, which I forgot to put the articles back there, but maybe they'll be available next Sunday. He was a preacher and evangelist up in the Maine area back in the day, but he was known to be called Praying Payson. And he was a man who just literally dedicated his life to seeking the Lord's faith and had a very fruitful ministry because of that. But this is what he says. He says, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. Pray, therefore, my dear brother, pray, pray, pray. And we've worked our way through the spiritual battle today, and those who would engage in spiritual warfare, Kent Hughes says, regardless of how well they wear truth and righteousness and faith and salvation, regardless of how well they're grounded in peace, regardless of how well they wield the word of God, must make prayer the first thing. The Christian soldier fights on his knees. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer today that you would just get a really big dose of the Holy Spirit today, and that He would open your eyes to the battle that's going on in the spiritual realm. Because ministries and churches and all kinds of things, and especially in America today, have resorted to programs and tactics and all these kinds of things. And the prayer meeting has basically died out. And God wants to restore. He says, my house will be a house of prayer. Prayer is the first thing. We're going to sink or we're going to swim based on prayer. Now, we can have numbers and make things look like there's worldly success, but what I'm talking about is the fruit of spiritual growth in people's life. I'm talking about a spiritual change in the atmosphere. I'm talking about strongholds being torn down, and it only comes when prayer comes back into the church. We have a lot of people that sing songs about revival and about crying out for revival, but unless we are committed to praying with one another and praying on a daily basis for one another and for revival, it's not going to come. Every great revival was birthed when people and just a small group of people got together and said, we're going to pray until revival comes. We're going to pray until God moves. And we are living in a dry and a weary land. We know the political landscape is full of landmines. We know that we're going in the wrong direction as a country. And I pray that the church won't go in the wrong direction. But I pray that we will return to prayer. That is our only thing. That is our only answer. Because it's our reliance and dependence upon God, not upon the human flesh. Why is prayer important in regards to the spiritual armor? The title of the message today is Activating the Armor of God. You can have the helmet of salvation. You can have the righteousness of Christ. And you can learn about peace. And you can learn about all those things that we went through. But it's activated by prayer. Paul puts the most emphasis on, at the end of when he says the spiritual armor, on praying. At all times, with all kinds of prayer. It's leading into that. So why prayer is important? First of all, we talked about having the belt of truth that holds all of our armor into place, right? The devil comes by bringing doubt. And the only way we're to combat that is through prayer. We're prone to sin as humans. Are you prone to sin? Are you prone to give in to temptation? That attacks your righteousness. It can be beaten through prayer. The devil attacks our peace with fear and laziness. And so we're not ready to dig our cleats into the ground and stand firm. Prayer is the place of power for the believer. The devil attacks our identity and security. And so we might have the helmet of salvation. We might know about it. But unless we wield it in prayer, unless we connect it to the spiritual realm, unless we connect it to a relation that's dependent upon God, it'll do no good. The devil distorts and substitutes things for God's word and tempts us to drop and put our swords down. But when we contend in prayer for the power of the word of God to be taught and come forth, that's when God can move. So I want to ask today, there's a lot of ideas about what prayer is. What is prayer? If we look at the word literally in the Greek, it just simply means worship and request addressed to God. And then the second meaning of that word is a place set aside for prayer. So not only are we given worship and request to God, but we set specific time and places, those special places. And it literally comes from the word synagogue. So if the Jews didn't have a synagogue, they would have a place usually down by a river that they would go and pray. And so prayer is essential. It is literally communication with God as a person. Now, I remember growing up in some different backgrounds and churches and things like that, but I know that there are times and places where the prayers were just learned things. You know, we have those learned prayers at home that we recite and maybe have no meaning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Bless this food to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. That was my prayer growing up, you know, when we pray around the dinner table and that. But what we're talking about prayer is we're communicating with a person. You know, I've heard, I don't know how many times people say, and I want to tell you that prayer is foundational for a Christian. And so if you're struggling with praying out loud, this is going to be a challenge to you today, because this is the most basic part of the Christian faith, is that we learn to pray out loud with one another. We learn to pray in private as well, but prayer is talking to a person. You know how a lot of times the people can pray these grand prayers, Lord, I thinkest thou that you have moved upon a monoth of my life, and all of a sudden they speak in old English and all that, and it sounds good. But we're talking to a person here. How would you feel if I came up to you and said, how art thou today, brother? The Lord hath blesseth thee and keepeth thee. You know, we're talking to a person. He's real. He's God. He's relational. He's loving. And so when we think about prayer, shouldn't that change our idea? You know, I've heard people say, well, I'll stumble when I pray and I'll stutter if I pray out loud. Praise God that you stutter, because when you get to the point when you don't stutter, it becomes a show sometimes and you're tempted to make it a show. Because we're not praying for one another. We're praying to God as a person. We're talking to Him. We're connecting with Him. It's communication with a God that changes us and brings us in line with God's will. Now, you might have thought that prayer changes God's mind and moves the hand of God. People make those statements all the time. But prayer, yes, it moves the hand of God from our perspective. But really what it's doing is God has all these things that He is written in His Word and His will that are to be done. And He's waiting for us to surrender. It's, I was just waiting for you to yield to me so that I can do that thing. I was waiting for you to ask me, because this is the way I designed it and planned it to be. He sovereignly orchestrates and works through prayer. And prayer, rather than changes God, changes us to be in alignment with His agenda, with what He's doing. So these songs we sang this morning, I stand on arms high and heart abandoned. You know, when we have the old hymn that some of you might know as well, I surrender all, and I feel like a liar sometimes when I sing those songs. But when we come to the point and we are surrendering to God daily in prayer, it's possible. It's possible that we could be fully surrendered. It's possible that God could use us in a dynamic and powerful way when we surrender to Him and be used as His vessel, and we begin to proclaim what God wants. Prayer, last of all, is communication with God that leads us to join Him in His work. See, when you start to pray, when you start to get in, I'm not talking about just those mealtime prayers. I'm not talking about those glib responses and sentences that we can throw up to God and say, well, yeah, I believe in God. You know, those kind of, I'm talking about getting on our knees. I'm talking about pleading with God as if our life depends on it. Talking about being desperate and hungry for the Lord, God's going to begin to show us His will. He's going to begin to show us how He's working in our lives. Now, I know my wife has been, and I hope you don't mind that I share what God's doing with her. God has placed, she likes to ice skate, and pretty soon we're going to invite everybody to come to an ice skating arena, you know, and I try to show her at home, you know, the things that I can do, but this is flat ground and this is not ice. But in that situation, a person that she had met doing that, God is beginning to open up some doors to just love on this person and connect with them. And I know she's a person of the Word. She's in the Word of God and she's praying. But as she's praying, God has opened up and says, I want you to minister to this girl. You know, and throughout, she's seen different signs. You know, there would be a newspaper article, walked into a store, and it had the picture of the girl on the front of it. And all these things. So it's like, bam, bam, bam. God is starting to show her, this is how I'm working. Will you join me in this work? And she is. And so that leads us to the question, okay, well, when should I pray? Now, that's a kind of a redundant question according to the scripture we just read. He said, praying at all times in the beginning of verse 18, in the Spirit with all prayer. And then you skip down a little bit, supplication for all the saints. It is a communication that is constant. So prayer is not merely an added benefit, but it's a commanded responsibility. I want to say that again. Prayer is not just a benefit that, okay, I'm a Christian, that's something I got to do. It is a responsibility, because in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 it says, what? To pray without ceasing. So don't believe the lie that the devil says, well, I just don't have the gift of prayer. I've heard people say that. You know, that's for Brother Mike, he's got a loud mouth, or that's for so-and-so, they can have a long prayer and they can pray a long time. You know, that's just not my gift. Baloney. It's not listed as the spiritual gifts. It's listed as a command for all the saints to do. So it's all the time in all different ways. So it's not just an added benefit, but a responsibility. Number two, prayer is a lifestyle rather than an add-on. Now, I love the book. If I would encourage you to get it if you haven't. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. by Brother Lawrence. It's just a little booklet of a monk who wrote about his constant prayer life. And you might think, how is it really possible for me to pray always? You know, some people have these concepts of what prayer is. You know, you were driving down the road and I'll say to somebody, let's pray. And I'm driving, they're saying, you're not going to close your eyes, are you? I mean, oh no, I don't have to close my eyes. I'm talking to God as a person. I mean, sometimes we just have these forms that we're locked into. You can go to work and you're at your workplace and you might say, well, does that mean you got to be at your office desk when your boss is telling you to work and you're just on your knees in prayer to pray, sorry, boss, I can't get my work done today because God's called me to pray at all times. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is being cognizant that God is present at every moment, breathing those prayers inside your heart when you need to, just bringing God's presence and glory. It says in the Bible that we are the aroma of Christ. I mean, we spread around the glory of Christ wherever we go when we have this kind of prayer life. And this is what Brother Lawrence says. He says, the time of business does not defer. Excuse me. The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. So, folks, it is possible. And for those of you that are parents, it's always, Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad, and some of you go to the point where you lock yourself in the bathroom or something like that, just for a moment of silence and peace. But I tell you, if God is present with us and we're cognizant, and we start our day in the presence of God, above the noise, above the drama, above all the things that are going on in our lives, we can have that connectedness and that peace with God. But it is a practice. Title of his book is Practice of the Presence of God. It's not like tomorrow you're going to wake up and be a person that prays at all times in all ways. So give yourself some space, but take some steps to yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him begin this work in, because it's a lifestyle, not an add-on. It's who we are. If he's our king, if he's our God, if he's the one that we're connected to, we ought to be in communication with him on a constant basis in our lifestyle, how we live. Prayer should happen when things are going good and when they're going bad. Now, I notice that a lot of times in my life, and I've seen it so many times in the church, that we just don't talk about prayer, we don't pray, and then something bad happens in our life. And then we become like that old lady that's been praying for many, many years on her knees. All of a sudden we're like, oh, Lord, I lost my job. God says, oh, it's nice seeing you again. He says, pray at all times. You mean when things are going well and I'm being blessed, when God is working so abundantly in my life? Yes, if prayer means worship, worship. Thank him for the good times. Thank him for what's going on. And so that we're not just like a stranger and we're coming cold turkey and say, God always is always waiting for us, right? He loves for us to be there, but don't wait just for the bad times. Because when you praise him in the good times, that attitude and the heart of worship, that intimacy that you develop with Jesus during that time is going to get you through the bad time. Is going to lead you to the throne room of grace. Prayer should occur no matter what feeling or mood we are experiencing at the time. Let me say that again. Prayer should occur no matter what feeling or mood we're feeling at the time. Now, there are times, and I know, you know that I'm a stubborn person in some areas. And if I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or if I'm in a bad mood, there's something inside of me, and I know that's the devil's trick, that says, you shouldn't pray. Look at what you just did. Or look at this attitude that you have. Look at where you're at in your life. And so a lot of times I use that as an excuse to not pray. But if you read through the Psalms and look at David, David always prayed when he was messed up to the hilt. His mind was going bonkers. He was crazy almost, you would say. He's insane and he's struggling, but he still prayed. He still came to God. God, why aren't you here? God said, I am here. If you notice at the end of the Psalms, David's like, I will praise you because you did this, this, and this, and this in my life. Because when we're feeling like garbage, when we're feeling like our mood is way out there, I would say force yourself to go in before prayer, because that's the only place that you can be straightened out. That's the only place, that's where God brings us back into alignment with Him. So instead of following our feelings or moods at the moment, go to Him in prayer. Now let's talk about just for a moment, how do we pray? And the Word of God teaches to pray to God, Yahweh, through Jesus Christ. We have access into the throne room of grace, but we only pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you notice in our text today, He says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying all times in the Spirit. Now, in order for us to understand a little bit of that, I would like you to turn to Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. We'll keep our place in Ephesians, but Romans chapter 8. And perhaps some of you are familiar with this text of Scripture. I love this. Anybody have times of weaknesses? Times when you feel like a failure, like given up, like you don't know what God's called you to do in your life? He says in verse 26 of Romans, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. If you break that phrase down in the Greek, it's literally groans that cannot be put into human words, or the words that we understand or words that we speak. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to what? The will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who called according to His purpose. Now, we like that last part and we've quoted that last part, but it's connected to the fact, number one, that the Holy Spirit prays for us. He intercedes for us in groans. And I don't know if you've ever been in those places of prayer. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, perhaps you might hear some of those groans that might come out of your mouth. I don't know. But when you're in prayer and you're just like, I don't even know what to pray for. My soul is in such anguish today. I don't even know what to say to God. Anybody been there? I don't even know how to say it. That's when we can say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in my life. You are welcome to come and take over. You are welcome to intercede for me and to pray through me and with those groanings that are too deep for words. Because we know when he talks about praying in the Spirit, Paul mentions this in the context of the heavenly gift or the heavenly language of speaking in tongues. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you know, in the public meeting, don't speak in tongues unless you interpret it, because no one can understand it. But then Paul says, well, what do I do? I mean, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He said, since people can't understand, what will I do? He says, my spirit, actually, let's turn there because I want you to see this. In 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, he says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries, what? In the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. So he's talking in a public meeting. He's differentiating here. He's saying what's in public, people have to understand it. But your prayer life, that's a whole different thing. That's your intimacy with the Spirit. It's the Spirit speaking through you. And so that next part of that scripture in verses 13, he says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. So that's where the Holy Spirit dwells, is inside our human spirit. Low, not capital S. But I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I also will sing with my mind also. So Paul's solution to this: in public, make sure there's an interpretation. In private, there is that intimacy that you can have with God. And perhaps, maybe when you pray sometimes, there might be some of those groanings come out. But when he says the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, that is such an intimate relationship. That's such a depth of prayer today. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, well, probably you can come and ask questions later, or study the Word for yourself, what it says. Now, in Jude chapter 20, it says the Holy Spirit joins with us. In other words, he says, I want your heart to be encouraged as you pray in the Spirit. Now, there's a difference of praying in the Spirit and in the flesh. In the Spirit is when we're communicating with the Holy Spirit inside of us and we're in line with God's will. We're praying according to the flesh. It's what we want. It's what our opinions are. It's what we think about. And so in order to understand, he says how to pray, he says pray in the Spirit. He says don't just pray out of the flesh. Don't just pull something out of your hat just because someone wants you to pray, or we need to fill the gap or the void. And I always say that during when we have those sharing times of joys and concerns. Don't just say something just to say something. Say something if you have communicated, your spirit has communicated with the Holy Spirit, and you have to share it with the body of believers to raise and encourage them and lift them up. The Holy Spirit leads us to what to pray for through use of God's Word and communicating with our spirit. Now, some of us would like to say that, well, this is just my intuition or my reason. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is separate. He's a person. He speaks. He can speak through our intuition. He can speak through our mind. But is a totally separate thing than our human intuition. And why do I say that? Because our intuition is muddled by sin. Now, it's like the Holy Spirit's trying to flow and we have those blockages that keep His message from coming through in our lives. So there's the two ways. The main way that the Holy Spirit speaks is through God's Word. And we talked about that last week. Is if we don't have God's Word, what is the Holy Spirit going to have to use inside of us? He digs inside of our spirits and there's nothing there. There's no word to speak to the church because we haven't been in the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit uses God's Word. He only speaks what God speaks. And He does so in a supernatural way. And not only that, when the Holy Spirit joins with us, how many get tired of praying at times? I mean, it's just so tiring. But when you get in the Spirit, sometimes an hour or two could go by and you don't even know that. Because the Spirit gives us energy and power to keep interceding, to keep praying, to keep pressing in to God. Now, I'm not going to look up all these scriptures, but I want you to know, here's the results. If we learn to get into this intimacy thing with the Holy Spirit and quit being afraid of the Holy Spirit, quit getting allowing our flesh to get in the way and trying to control everything, here's three things that will result from Spirit-led prayer. First of all, 1 John talks about you have what you ask for if you obey all my commands. So there's a qualifying there. So obedient lifestyle is the grounds for answered prayers. So Spirit-led prayer leads to obedience to God. The second thing is 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And I would like you to look these up if you have time. I would encourage you to do that when you go home. But it says that if you pray according to God's will, He'll answer. So this is a result of Spirit-led prayer. And then in Romans 8 and also in James, He says, you have not, but you because you don't ask. This is what he says in James. But when you ask that you might consume it on your lust and your own sinful desires, is basically what he's saying there. So when the Spirit joins us, when we're in alignment with God, we pray according to the Spirit and not what our flesh wants. Here's what I would encourage you to do. If you say, you know what, I'm just this thing of praying in the Spirit, this is really difficult for me. I would just encourage you to go and find a quiet place and just sit before the Lord and don't say anything and say, God, other than just saying, God, here I am. I just want to soak in your presence. Maybe read a little scripture about the character of God and meditate on that a bit. You know, I think sometimes we come and we make it too difficult when sometimes God just wants us to come and just, I call this soaking in God's presence, or just laying in God's presence, or sitting and kneeling in God's presence, until we begin to understand what it means to pray in the Spirit. I dare you to do it. I dare you to say, I'm just going to lay before God and not say a word and let God begin to speak. Pretty soon you might be sitting there and you might be hopping up on your feet, or you might be opening a passage of Scripture, or you might be calling somebody and say, there's something I need to share with you today, because you've opened yourselves up to the presence of God and God wants to move through us in a powerful way. So he answers also the question in this text of what kind of prayer is there. He mentions in that verse, he says, all kinds of prayer. And when we look through the Scripture, there's confession and long story short, without looking that scripture up in Isaiah, it says, how can God answer our prayer when we first don't confess? It's basically saying sin in our lives blocks our communication with God. So that's the first form of prayer, is confession. And actually, the first, as Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer, is worship. Worship leads us to confession and thanksgiving and praying for others' requests. So there's all kinds of prayer. Prayer could be a song. We just sang some songs that were prayers today to God. That's a form of prayer. Adoration and worship is a prayer. Asking God for things is a prayer. And that's why he says all prayer. And then he mentions supplications, which is a need or a want. It's what we ask for. Wow. That's a lot packed in a couple of verses. But I want to encourage you to go home. Don't take this scripture for granted. And all these passages that are in here, I would just open the Word. Just get into it. Just allow the Spirit to move in you and shake you and get rid of all the junk and the stuffiness and the things that hold us back. When should we pray? When should we quit praying, rather? When should we quit praying? He says, pray at all times, on all occasions. And he says in the end of verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. He uses that word perseverance, and God, first of all, sovereignly chooses persistent prayer to answer for his glory. And Jesus teaches on that in Luke chapter 18 about the persistent widow that comes and she needs bread and she knocks on the, or she needs justice from the judge. She knocks on the door and he doesn't come, and then she just keeps knocking until he comes. And then Jesus says, how much more is God going to answer if you keep asking, if you keep persisting in prayer? Some of you have been praying. I've been praying for some of my family members. Some are in cults and other things like that to get saved. Now I'm getting, age. I'm just tipping the scales now, over 40. And that's a lot of years since I was young, praying for my cousins and my family to come to Christ. Some of you have been praying a lot longer than that. But if the Spirit is moving on your heart to pray, don't quit praying, because that's the very answer. If the Spirit is working and if he's moving and he's laying this burden on your heart to pray for somebody, know that he's going to answer, because it's his will. God sovereignly chooses persistent prayer. And God honors an attitude and a lifestyle of alertness to the spiritual realm. I think a lot of us as believers kind of are oblivious as to what, if we could just close our eyes, so to speak, our physical eyes, and see into the spiritual realm. Right now, in the spiritual realm, there are demons that are fighting and battling the angels of God over your life, over your family, over this community. They're right now wielding the swords with one another. That's the spiritual realm. That's where the battle takes place. And you know what changes things in the spiritual realm? What fuels the angels of God with power is a person that is on their knees in prayer. God invites us here in this text to join in this battle, to get outside. And so he says, you got to be alert. You have to be ready. You have to be aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm. It's not all happy and giddy all the time. It's not all, you know, everything's good and we're just like, we ignore problems. And have you ever seen those people and we have the power of positive thinking and no matter what's happening in their lives, everything is just, yeah, I've just got to speak a positive word. I just got to speak a positive word. And they don't deal with the issues, so it's just kind of covering it over. There's real battles going on. And there is real power in prayer in the spiritual realm to beat the devil. Because, you know, remember, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Jesus Christ has already won, and he's invited us to pray into this victory and see God's kingdom come. We just sang that song today. May your kingdom come. Let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, this is the kingdom of God advancing, and he chooses to do it through prayer. And so if the church doesn't pray in America, God's will and his kingdom agenda is still going to happen, but he's going to use someone else. You thought I was going to say it's not going to happen. God's going to do what he wants to do no matter what, but he's going to use someone else. Don't. You know, the Old Testament says the eyes of the Lord are searching for somebody. Somebody that will stand in the gap. Somebody that will pray. Somebody that will come before God. Because God wants us to persevere and keep on asking. We're all familiar with the verse of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and the door will be opened. But maybe what you didn't know, that those words in the Greek are in the present imperative tense, which means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that asking shows our humility and dependence of God, and our seeking means that we get off our pews. Kind of made that G-rated there. We get off of our pews and take action. Don't be afraid to get into prayer with the brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid to get in prayer at your home with the Lord. And don't give up even if you don't see the answer, because it's in present imperative. Ask, seek, knock, and don't stop doing it. God, you know why God loves it when we keep knocking? He just wants to be close to us all the time. We're not knocking, we're off in la-la lands. God, where's my child? Where's my son? Where's my daughter? Keep praying, keep believing. Because God's agenda of prayer is to advance his kingdom. And you would think that Paul, of all people, was a man of God, right? He endured beatings, had bruises and all kinds of things all over his body. He stood up before magistrates and governors boldly. You think, surely this guy, he's covered with a spiritual armor. But look what he asked the people to do here. Pray also for me, that the words may be given for me in the opening of the mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. God's agenda is to advance his kingdom, and so we all need prayer. So intercessory prayer is so important. I was reading an article of, or actually it was a letter written where I think his InterVarsity ministry, but he said, you know, every Saturday I've got a group of people that we get together and we pray for a specific list of pastors and leaders by name. We pray for them on Saturday nights. Then we pray for them while they're giving their sermons and pray for their church to receive the Word of God. And we pray for them afterwards that there would be fruit that would be born. And that really touched my heart just to show you the need that we all have, even pastors have. And I'll tell you, maybe you won't understand this, but there's arrows flying on Saturday night. I can get in a bad mood, and I don't even know why I'm in a bad mood. I can start hating on myself, not even know why, not have any reasons why. That's why it's important to pray. And if that's happening to me, it's going to be happening to you as well. And the importance of intercessory prayer is so important that Paul says, you know, even though I'm a strong man of faith, I've conquered all these things, I need prayer that I can open my... You mean Paul, the one who spoke before men? Yes! Yes! He needs boldness. So make you a prayer list. Now there's a general prayer list. You can say, you know, how can I pray for all the saints? How long is that going to take? I mean, there's maybe 70 so people in this room right now. How could I pray for everything? That's going to take a long time, let alone the church down the road around the corner and then the church in China and the church. So there's general prayers that we can pray for all the saints. We can pray for the persecuted church. Maybe the Holy Spirit will lay on your heart and mind to pray for China today or pray for this region or this town in West Virginia. Whatever it is, that's a general prayer. But then we have a specific prayer list, and those are those people that are in our sphere of living, like I was sharing about Tanya. Within her sphere of what she's doing in her life, she has a list. God is going to give you a list too, if you don't already have one, of people to begin to pray for in the church for God's power to move in their life, and then also for those that are not believers. So he asked for specific words of the gospel, and you're talking about Paul. Here's the guy that preached and the guy fell asleep and out of the window because he talked for a long time. Paul says, I need words. I need to hear from God and speak from God. And we all need that power and boldness and fearlessness to preach the gospel. So if you forget everything that I had spoken today, pray. Pray. Pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and don't give up. Pray and don't give up some more. Pray and don't give up some more. Come before the throne room of grace because we have access boldly. And I want to encourage you too to walk in your authority and your power. If Jesus has paved the way and forgiven you of your sins, you know, it's not just coming before God and saying, Lord, today we just want to just thank you for... We just thank you that we have food and our life. And we sound so sad. We're talking about prayers from the heart filled with affection for God because I can boldly come and, God, touch my life. Touch my church. Set me free in worship. Set me free to reach people with the gospel and the kingdom. God, move. I'm talking about being desperate, just like a child when they lose their bottle on the ground. So let's start doing a child like the bottle on the ground prayers rather than I'm just about to die in nursing home prayer. Although I better back up, there's some folks that are 80 and 90 that are just about to die and their prayer life is on fire. And they're wheeling circles around me and around you. You know, you need to read. I very rarely will give these kind of strong directions. But you all need to rebuke the spirit of fear when it comes to prayer. Because some of us, it's choking up our prayer lives and it's choking up of our church lives. Well, I can't pray like the pastor does. Well, I've never prayed out in front of people before. Forget that. You're talking to God as a person. Hopefully all those lies are gone. Rebuke it. Stand firm in the power of God's word. Say no to fear. Say no to being afraid of stepping out of our comfort zones and do what God calls us to do. Would you do that? Would you begin to rebuke that? Would you begin to come before God and say, God, move in my life. Amen. Amen. I love you all. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of the cross. And the words of that tune goes, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Father, I just pray, Lord, have your way in our lives. Jesus, I'll be the first to confess my pride. I'll be the first to confess my laziness, the first to confess my timidity and my fears, Lord, in a number of areas of my life. So, Lord, won't you come and fill us with boldness? Lord Jesus, right now as a church body, we rebuke fear. We rebuke the spirit of timidity because you've given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind through the Word of God and through prayer. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd make us a praying church, Lord, that you'd raise us up to be your house of prayer, to be a people that are hungry for you like we've never hungered before. God, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' matchless, powerful name we pray. Amen. Pray. God bless you.